we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Our post-senior day victory against Nebraska podcast. I do just want to get out in front of this joke early before everyone else on the internet makes it. Are we better without Io? We're undefeated without Io. We've had a couple of conference losses without Io, but we haven't lost yet against Io. So we said it first, so must credit us for this timeless joke. But let's go ahead. Let's talk about our seniors here real quick.
Yeah, I thought Zach played great.
At the start and at the end. I like how he got to start the game because he's a senior, but then he also, you know, he didn't play most of the game, but then he came in at the end, but then he also got the send-off as well. So he got, like, the whole trilogy of the senior night thing.
Maddie, to your point, are we better without Io? I mean, Curbelo almost had a triple-double.
Those triple-doubles are reserved for Io DeSumo and Io DeSumo only. I know we were rooting for him to get a triple-double, but Johnny and I are like, you know what, maybe Io. I think Io's kind of reserved the triple-double spot this season.
Yeah, and just like the weight of the triple double when you do it against Nebraska, it's a little inflated. And when you're just getting like 10 10 and 10, or I guess he maybe had 12 rebounds versus Io putting up 19 10 and 10 or 21 12 and 12 against Wisconsin, who is a top 25 team at the barn, who everyone else lost to, there is kind of a difference. So Andre will get his triple-doubles later in his career, and we're looking forward to that, but this is kind of Io's year to be 50% of our all-time triple-doubles.
That's what they said about Mark Smith, and they were right.
Yeah, tonight was Mark Smith senior night.
That's true.
I was talking about the other Mark, the one who actually got a triple-double.
Not the snake. Not
Mark Smith, but Mark Smith. Well, should we talk about Io a little bit? Obviously, this morning on Twitter, I mean, depending on when you're listening to it, was definitely an interesting time to be on social media. A lot of emotion riding high from multiple fan bases, whether it was Illinois' fan base, Michigan State's, Iowa's fan base. There was a lot going on, and I think we like to pride ourselves in terms of the podcast as being social media and Twitter savants. I don't know. How do you want to call it? Like, we're really in the weeds with these things.
I don't think we can classify ourselves as savants. We just know like where to put our like put ourselves at. Like, we know like how emotional to get into it. We're not overly emotional. We don't blame so many people, but we also like know when not to be reserved. And I think we found the happy medium, and that's where our sweet spot is there.
Well, I didn't do any of those tweets, so if anyone's angry, direct them at everyone else. I'm just kidding. But yeah, go ahead, Josh.
No, it was You're first emotional because first you want Io to feel way better, and like you're angry, like you're first like, all right, is he gonna be better? We have games that we need to win coming up, but you're like, all right, let's just take the Big Ten championship, winning the regular season championship out of the picture. We just need him back healthy by, I would say, the tournament. Like, the Big Ten tournament is important, but like the NCAA tournament, that's where he was going to make a name for himself. So first, let's see, make sure that he's healthy for there. We saw him with his mask. But then there was anger that was developed towards the Michigan State fan base, which, well, not the fan base, the Michigan State team, who our boss, Robert, wrote a very eloquent article about how Izzo didn't take any blame for his players coming in and being very aggressive throughout the game. And that aggressiveness led to Io being injured, which, so justifiably, as a fan base, we can be angry at Michigan State.
We can be angry at Michigan State. And I think the icing on the cake was the Michigan State fans on Twitter almost acting like they are the victims because we're accusing some of their players of dirty plays when Io is just getting elbowed to the face. And when they tweet about Io being out of the game because of a broken nose, they're almost like trying to fight back and argue with us. Like, You injured our best player. Like, what is there to argue about?
Go ahead, Josh.
There was a 247 Michigan.
Yeah,
State
I was going to. I can read it for you right here, Josh.
Go for it. I don't have it pulled up.
Yeah. Josh loves to troll onto other teams' message boards when he has the opportunity. And this one was really something special. It was from H to the Izzo. says, thoughts, Io is a punk, and I wish Maddie would have clocked him harder.
Not me, Maddie. Sissoko. Okay, can we just please clarify that?
I don't think anyone was not playing you and Maddie Sissoko.
I was not
you're
playing.
You're 5'4", because people forget that. You are 5'4", though, or maybe probably smaller, shorter.
Wow. Yeah. See, one of the reasons I agreed to do this podcast was because it was just in verbal form, and no one would ever have to see, you know, how tall I was. But let's bring it all into the open now, Sam. Let's talk about it. But no, I agree. I think, like, why, if you're a Michigan State fan, why do you have to get so defensive? Like, you can still be a fan of Michigan State basketball. You can still support your players. You can still support Tom Izzo for all I care. But you can also be like, okay, that was a bad play by Sissoko. Okay, things were getting a little bit out of hand. Okay, I hope Io, assuming one of the best players in the country, is okay. You don't have to pick sides like that.
Yeah, like last year, no one was on Twitter being like, oh, yeah, Alan Griffin should have stepped on Sasha Stefanovic. I mean, I might have made the joke step on a bitch, but no one was out there defending Alan Griffin, and he should have gotten suspended. We weren't saying that right. Purdue fans were being irrational.
Right, and you can still, and we did still support Alan Griffin. Brad even said that was really dumb and he deserves a suspension, but he wasn't in the doghouse for the rest of time, and we still supported the kid for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and that was the difference between Brad and Izzo, is Brad post-game says right away, hey, that's, like, not okay. Alan apologized to him.
Well, Izzo said he didn't see the play. Yeah. Izzo pulled the classic, well, I haven't seen the play yet, which is just, like, the ultimate. Yeah.
Except 24 or 48 hours now have gone by, and Izzo still hasn't said anything. Right. And then also, from Robert's article, Josh Langford says, we wanted to be the aggressor. We didn't want to get hit first. We wanted to go hit them first. Like, that's a pretty clear message.
What is this, a boxing match?
Greg Williams is their assistant coach.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like Greg Williams with the Saints there. It's unbelievable. It sounds like a boxing match.
I just want to point out, I just saw Maddie Sissoko check into the Michigan State game. So he officially wasn't suspended. And what happens here is there's another decision where the Big Ten just does not come through this year, but it's just shocking that he's not suspended. All flagrant twos have been led to a suspension, and they should be. I'm just annoyed. I'm still more annoyed at Izzo. Like, I'm taking my frustrations out at the Big Ten, but he's still not suspended, and it's BS.
Well, he'll get to sit at home when we play in the tournament. So if that's any consolation for Illinois fans.
Well, I put out the poll from our Twitter account today. Are you guys right now rooting for Ohio State, or are you rooting for Michigan State
in this game?
Michigan. See,
I agree.
You gotta get over it.
I totally agree.
It's a thing that, like, in a few weeks when rankings and seedings come out, we're not gonna have this same animosity towards the Michigan State fans. It's just like a right here, right now, we hate these people. And, like, rightfully so, we should. But at the same time, for Illinois basketball to get the best seed possible, we want Michigan State.
We are Illinois basketball fans. We are not anti-Michigan State fans.
Well, I kind of anti-Michigan State
in general,
first and foremost.
But overall, we're first and foremost Illinois basketball fans, and that is what should shine through when it comes to these decisions, as emotional as we want to be.
The interesting thing is that I think we have a rational fan base, but then 59% of the 170 people who voted on that poll voted that they are rooting for Ohio State tonight.
That's just
more
being
than
emotional. That's very emotional.
Was that a stratified sample? Did we collect?
yeah.
Did we collect individuals from all 102 counties in Illinois?
I believe all of our fans listening right now follow our Twitter account. So I want to be nice to you guys.
Yeah,
so
there were like 10 people from Tony Peterson's region, and then like 4 from Aaron Henry's.
Andy, no one voted from Andy Boo's region out there.
Well, that could be because no one's there.
Right. Population wise, yes.
I was saying to these guys too. It's a tough night when you see Michigan and Iowa play and Michigan State and Ohio State play, where we've been keyboard warriors in Twitter fights with all four of these fan bases in the last like 2 months. Like, Ohio State, I would say, is the least hated fan base of the group right now, but like Michigan, we've had the banter. Iowa, we've had the banter with Luka Garza, and obviously now this heated Michigan State stuff. Like, it's tough out there being a keyboard warrior.
Yeah, I saw Fran McCaffrey arguing with the refs. It was a 22-point loss, but you got to wonder, you know, that could be a different game if
one call. Yeah, it could have been 20, 21, 20, 19 if you hit a three. Absolutely. He never gets upset at the referees after he loses a game.
One thing I've noticed, whenever we're in an argument with the fan base, we're always right.
I would say I've never been wrong about anything.
I
never been wrong about anything.
I agree. I just,
I've,
yeah.
it was an argument with you. I've never been wrong. Or any of you guys, I've never been wrong about anything.
What were do you guys know what Luka's stats were tonight? Because I kind of want to transition
four rebounds.
Did he? Did Curbelo have three times as many rebounds tonight?
Wasn't Hawkeyes or whatever his name was the Twitter account in our mentions because Illinois lost the game with Io playing the game? What happened? Did Luka not play tonight? Luka must have not played tonight.
Yeah,
right.
He didn't play.
Let's definitely not talk about the difference in competition between
the Michigan schools.
Io went 1 for 6 from three. I'm sorry that multiple of those 3-pointers were with a broken nose and his plane was completely off. Like,
arguably concussed.
Yeah. Hopefully not concussed. We don't want him to have brain issues and also miss further games. Hopefully we get him back against Wisconsin and ideally more likely against Michigan. That would be kind of his Penn State moment again where he comes back from injury and really just is our superhero.
Right. And especially when he got hurt last year against Michigan State of course it's against MSU. And you're like, oh my God, is this guy out for the year? Did he just tear his ACL, even an MCL? And this guy comes back next week and you have no idea what he's going to put up. And he puts up one of the best games of his season. He puts up a game winner there at the end. You know, Pat Chambers with that famous quote in the timeout because, you know, it was the all microphone game. And he goes, which way does 11 go?
Right.
And yeah, he took him to school that play, which was awesome. Get better soon, Io. Our thoughts are with you, buddy. Should we talk about our seniors tonight, though? The real stars of the show. It was their night, their time to shine on the State Farm Center one last time. We want to talk about favorite memories from each of our seniors. Bobby, do you guys have a favorite memory from Bobby?
Just, you know, the all of it.
All of
it. I think this year, this year he really got a chance to step up. Right.
There was There was a clap during the Iowa game. Set me off. That was my favorite memory.
The ground shook. Yeah.
Just that gif of him always putting his hand on the chair with the flames is great. That's what I want in a manager. He just works hard. They say he pushes the guys when they're doing layups really hard. It's great.
Really good hand technique.
As much as we are making fun of student managers and Bobby, I do think in a year like this, his impact is way, way, way more important when there's no fans. Plus, with the whole COVID thing, let's say the student managers, they get a little lenient. They're like, hey, let's maybe go out tonight. And they get COVID. They didn't do any of that. They were extremely disciplined. So shout out all the student managers for doing just an amazing job bringing the juice. Bobby, we appreciate you, buddy.
They're essential workers.
Absolutely. Absolutely they are. And they're not even getting paid for it.
No, they're not. And they're the guys who, when guys are going to Ubbin late at night, when Io's getting shots up, they're the ones rebounding.
Right. Well, you saw Bobby's Twitter profile picture. It's him getting crunched by Kofi with that pad there. So good for you, Bobby. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, I don't know if he's a pro guy, but maybe in Europe.
The chairs are a little lighter in Europe, during the timeouts when you have to unfold them, it's a little bit easier.
He'll be ahead of the competition.
He'll be a little ahead of the competition. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what about Zach?
Tonight, Zigo, he had the block. He had a great block tonight.
Okay, I want to put out a question here. So obviously, Zach isn't Kofi, but I have a theory. Zach tonight, when he's giving you five really, that's his prime time, I feel like when he's busting it out for 5 minutes, he can give you serviceable time.
He did give serviceable time. He hung in there. Maybe it's just because it's Nebraska and it's the worst team.
I was about to say that.
But you didn't feel, I felt way more uncomfortable last year when Tyler Underwood was in the game.
I think he played, it felt 20 minutes. It felt like the entire
last
first
year,
half.
Tyler
it
Underwood,
felt like the whole game.
It was bad.
That was a real game.
That was a real game. And you win by, that's a game you barely win by two. And you think about those first few minutes, maybe you have a point guard that hits a three instead of Tyler turning the ball over. But regardless, he did give you five serviceable minutes, and then he came in at the end and he got subbed out. So ex-student manager who worked his tail off to make it up and get a scholarship. Unbelievable job, Zach.
And great to dive on that loose ball to get a jump ball.
Absolutely.
That's the epitome of a walk-on white player.
An everyday guy. Okay, Damonte Williams. Just been here. How many starts did he have? How many games? It was just an absurd number of games when Tim Sinclair had said in his senior day presentation how many games he's played. A guy, the ultimate glue guy. I know that term gets thrown around a lot, going from a player who was literally invisible on KenPom to one of the sharpest shooters from three in the entire country. I think if he comes back next year, he's going to shoot 140% from three. I think we calculated since he doubles it every year. So no reason not to come back next year.
Yeah, that's a great point. And he had a very glue guy sort of stat line, 4 steals, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 8 points. And is just that guy. Like, he's always in the trenches, always just working hard, never taking too many shots. He had a couple floaters, which were fun. Little lefty floater. Very Damonte Williams-esque game. The only thing we didn't get from him was a little chippy, a little little talk with the other players. But a game like Nebraska, you don't necessarily need that out of him.
No, absolutely. I don't have a favorite moment.
He could be the leading Illinois all-time throw the ball off of like someone's balls. Yeah. I think that's a stat, but I would say besides the getting chippy during the Iowa game and getting into, wasn't it McCaffrey or Frederick's face? McCaffrey, right?
Yeah. McCaffrey. They're all the same. Who cares?
Yeah, sure. They're all the same person. Besides that, I don't know. I feel like it was just a glue guy doesn't have one defining moment. He just has many of the same.
Except for your three-pointer against Grand Canyon to barely eke out a win Thanksgiving like 3 years ago. That is a defining moment in a season where things don't go so good. I don't know why that three-pointer just like sticks out in my mind for some reason. Maybe it's because he was shooting so poorly that year, but shout out that awful game over Thanksgiving break that Damonte had to save us.
Speaking of Thanksgivings, Damonte was huge in that Ohio game. He hit like a really big three, I think, when we were maybe down 8, and then also later in the game, and got a bunch of rebounds. So I don't know. He's always been a guy who earlier in the season looks good, and then Big Ten play comes, Big Ten defense, he struggled. But he's had a few moments early in the season, but this year it's been nice to really see the consistency out of him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully a guy like that, like, he's just the perfect guy who's built for the tournament, where he's just experienced and he's ready to just put it all out there on the line.
Sam, do you have a moment for Monte?
I'm not sure. I mean, the Iowa game last year was awesome, and that clip that the deep state social media of him and McCaffrey's face that they seem to like try and have scrub from everywhere, like making a hype video and trying to find that clip, what a pain. I don't know if I have a moment yet. Maybe it's to come in March.
That was the main thing I was going to say for all these moments, is that hopefully we get our best moments, because we never had a tournament moment from them yet. Hopefully we all get moments from them. But
each player gets their own tournament game to shine. That would be nice.
Well, we've all been like hyping up for the last, I know, like 3 years, the Trent tournament moment. He needs to get in the tournaments just so he can have like a Carson Edwards type of game, because he can just go off like that. But as we transition to Trent, before we went to the Michigan State game, Johnny and I, 2 years ago, storm the court, I always said my favorite moment of attending Illinois basketball was the Maryland game. And I feel like that game, Trent had just an insane stat line, or at least brought us back into the game. And so that, like, I always do my favorite moments of moments that I was there. They take precedent over other moments. But the other moment I was going to say was, it was another loss as well, the Gonzaga game, where he had that moment that we are hoping for in the tournament, where he can just be unconscious from three.
So your moment is a missed shot?
No, but he had like 7 make shots before that.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that air ball sticks out.
Speaking of that Maryland game, I can tell you what is not a Damonte moment.
Oh, yeah. I was actually about to mention that inbounds pass. Oh my God. Gives me nightmares every single time. Yeah.
He's grown a lot since then. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you remind everyone what that pass was, please? Because we want to relive it.
No. It was, oh, God. We came back from what? Down 21, 22. And then he hadn't taken his freshman math class yet. We didn't count to 5. And, you know, just, the rest is history.
Well, Altgeld stat 100. I would say personally, a memorable moment I have with Trent, a little selfishly, I was sitting behind the basket, and you guys were sitting, I think, in another section in Block I, like on the side there. And I think this was like midway through the Big Ten season. It was a Big Ten game. Trent got hurt, and it, like, the stadium fell silent. Like, it was very quiet. And I don't know why my loud-ass mouth was like, oh, it's time to, like, scream. And I just scream, "We love you, Trent!" And I guess the whole stadium kind of like heard that. And I had like people texting me who were sitting like in other parts of Block I or like watching on TV being like, did you just scream, "We love you, Trent"? And I'm like, yeah, like, was that like a big deal? And they're like, no, but like, it was so loud. Everyone heard that. And I don't know why. I just wanted to support our guy, Trent. But when I think of Trent, again, like, I don't have a moment for him. It's just like over 4 years, this guy's just been a freaking warrior. Thinking about like his freshman year where he has to like carry the team, and then sophomore year he starts to kind of slump a little bit because he can't carry the team, and he shouldn't have never expected to carry this team. I just think of like the ultimate just grinder, just warrior. And again, hopefully he has that chance in the tournament. But I do want to echo what I said when I was a senior in college, that we do love you, Trent.
Yeah, Sam and I were on the baseline when you were behind the hoop, and we were like, that was Maddie, wasn't
That's
it?
That's our co-host. Yeah, what is? Can he shut up? What is he doing?
I can enunciate. I can be loud, you know? You got to do it from the gut, you know?
I think that was the first of many Trent falls down injured for a few minutes and then scares everyone and then comes back in later in the game. We're like, okay, Trent's good. We saw that a lot last year.
Yeah, we see it versus Ohio State. He like went into the tunnel.
Right.
And that's the thing you were talking about too, his freshman year. I was expecting the game tonight to kind of be like that, where it's almost like a Trent bailout, where you kind of have some stagnant offense late in the shot clock. Trent makes a contested three and you're like, okay, I guess that works. But it turns out that Mark Alstorck, not quite as good as Adam Miller in the first half, and Kofi Coburn a little better than a 6'7" Laron Black. So our offense is just a little better than it was a few years ago.
Yes, yes. And again, Trent having that expectation to like carry the team, you see Johnny, how effective he is when he doesn't have to do that.
And respect to Tijon Lucas, but Andre Curbelo, a little better.
They are.
Passer.
They were up, last time I checked, they were up 13 against, I think it was either IUPUI
It's
IUPUI. Okay, yeah, so
how
do I not know Horizon
League? It's the 8-9 seed.
How do I not know the Horizon League?
I was listening to, I think, the Jeff Goodman podcast this morning, and they're like, do you pronounce it Tejan? Tejan?
He's yeah, a good Tijon point guard.
What context did that come up
Tijon in? Tejan Mustard.
They were
is
like
that the yellow
like,
on their jerseys? Is that how you...
They were going through their gambling picks, and they're like, that Milwaukee, they have like Tejan guy. He's a pretty solid point guard they have up there. And I was just laughing hysterically.
Am I supposed to like put money based on that? Like, he doesn't even know.
Yes. If you can't pronounce his name, it means max units.
Johnny, I know you have a personal Trent story, that better be your moment.
I'll tell that story, but then I'll also give the answer that I was going to give was the moment was against Indiana when he hits a couple of big threes this year. Io's out of the game, and this was also when I was still playing, but like Trent really carried us during a lot of portions of that game, and that was really nice to see that him have that senior moment where he's finally a good player on a good team carrying the load. So I was very proud of him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think about, I believe that he had an interview freshman year after the senior night, you know, that year. And they asked him about that. And he goes, you know, I'm going to be so emotional. Like, I'm going to kiss the court. And I'm like, dang, that's like 4 years from now, Trent. Like, relax. And then, woo, that went by quickly, right? Like, I have a little introspection here where I'm like, whoa, we're getting old. Like, that was a fast 4 years, and here he is, he's graduating. He probably didn't anticipate doing it in front of no fans, but good for you, Trent.
Wait, what's this other story, Johnny?
Okay, so here's the other story is Trent is like a basketball junkie. So he was in our fraternity group chat of playing basketball at the Arc, and our group chat's like just like ballers or whatever, something like that. And it's basically just anytime people want to play basketball at the Arc, people texting it saying like, hey, who wants to run fives, whatever. And like Trent decides during the off season, he's friends with a couple of guys that he's going to join the group chat. So he'll show up at the Arc a decent amount. And at one point, the guys in the group chat are kind of being stupid and like changing their name to like NBA players that incorporate their own name. So like, Sam, you would change your name to be like Samuel D'Alembert or whatever. So everyone just kind of be funny. And I decide, you know what, I'm not going to do something with my name, but I'm just going to change my name to Mark Smith. And then...
In like GroupMe, so you can, for people to understand the context, like you could change your name that shows up. So like if you get a text, it'll say like Samuel D'Alembert or Mark Smith.
Exactly. And this group, and I also changed my photo to a picture of Mark Smith. And knowing well and good that Trent is in this, and I'm just like waiting for the moment where like I'm just going to come off as Mark Smith and just say something just really like embarrassing, so to speak. So eventually that moment comes when Mark Smith's dad is kind of like going off on Twitter and saying like accusing Brad of kind of being too tough on his players or whatever. So I basically just say in that group chat, like, Coach Underwood was being mean to me, and that's why I left Illinois. And then Trent just responds with the laughing eyes emoji, and it was a real winner for me.
Yes.
To see that I could to put a smile on that guy's face after all that he's done for us.
Yeah, I love that story, Johnny. That is fantastic. And yeah, just, you know, repaying the favor. He's given us a lot of moments where we would use that emoji too, of laughing and being happy. So the least we could do is return the favor. Anyone else want to talk about Trent or anyone else or any of these guys or the game tonight before we get out of here?
Well, there was one more player who said goodbye to the State Farm Center today, which kind of hit me. Like, we all knew it was coming, that he was going to – we didn't think that he was going to senior night. I'm happy he did, because that picture that Derek Piper posted of him kissing the center court, just him getting a ceremony from his family, like that was awesome to see.
Yeah.
But I just know he is going to have a lasting legacy as a member of the Orange and Blue. We are going to have our own podcast dedicated to him, I feel like, during the off season.
Oh, we are? Okay. That's news to me. Breaking news, everyone. We're going to have our own IO podcast. I'm cool with it. We could do 10.
Oh, you were talking about – I thought you were talking about Tyler. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. No, we were talking about Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 10 Tyler podcasts. But yeah, no, unbelievable. His impact felt at the University of Illinois will reach far beyond however this season ends up.
And everyone's fingers crossed that they had IO senior night, but they didn't have Kofi senior night. And if someone can convince him that if he spends all off season working on a jumper, and then.
Did someone say lottery?
Bigger guarantee. Did someone say lottery? Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like you point at IO, and he worked on his weaknesses all year during the offseason, comes back, and now he's answered a lot of questions that execs were curious about. And like, he's worked his way into being a potential first round pick. So, I mean, you can never pressure a kid into coming back when you know you can make money, whether it be overseas or in the NBA or G League. But at the same time, like, the stage is kind of set for Kofi that you could improve your game and really kind of achieve your dreams of being a first round pick.
It's all out there, but hey, let's focus on this year, this season first, because the team is impacted by what we think about, right? So we can't think about the next game because they will also get impacted by that, right? Is that how that works?
Do you really believe that? You're such an idiot.
Should we? I just want
to. You've been mean to me this episode,
Sam.
Wow.
In the first game against Ohio, they're chanting defense, and Maddie's like, "Do you think they don't know how to play defense?"
I'm just making sure.
Well, what's their new one? Because I think, do they do lock up or is that Michigan?
I just know they pat their head and say boom if there's a big dunk or a three, which I really like. Like ineligible man downfield, but instead it's a dunk.
Or a 30
yeah, I think
second
they,
shot clock.
Or a 30 seconds. Yeah. If we're talking about basketball, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think the team that we saw tonight can beat, without Io, can beat Wisconsin on Saturday?
It'll be tough. So,
tough.
Like, the big thing is keeping them off the threes because they were kind of not doing the best from three-point range and almost a little lucky on our part. But if Kofi can kind of keep those big men in order and not let them get any rebounds like they did against Hunter Dickinson, or, I mean, he kept them in check, we can win. But we need a good Andre Curbelo. We need a good Adam Miller. Unfortunately, it seems like both of those guys are a little bit out of their funk that they were in a little bit earlier in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys, I mean, the point guard play is going to be huge with that IO. All right, that does it for this episode. We will talk with you in a few days. We're gonna have can we say who we're having on next? He talked about it on Twitter.
Yeah, he announced it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be having one of the 247 guys from Iowa on the podcast to discuss everything from Luka versus Io to, you know, how he sees Iowa. coming down the stretch here into the Big Ten and the regular NCAA tournament, and we promise to keep it civil.
No, we're going into the trenches. Okay, some of you guys might be civil, but Luka can't Garza. You hear to hear first.
That's right. Okay. Yes, Dion told us that he would take him to school. All right, everyone. Awesome. We'll talk to you in the next one. ILL.